Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Samuel chapter number 3, verse 17 says this, "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all of their enemies." Go to chapter number 5 for the sake of time. I read you a couple verses in chapter number 5, verse number 1. "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king, let's back up verse number 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Now go with me back to chapter number 3. I'm interested in four words in verse number 18. The Bible said this, "Now then do it." Now then do it. And I want to preach to you simply on those four words this morning. Now then do it. Father, I love you today. And I pray, God, that you would help us this morning, God. Father, you know the desires of my heart. That is to bring glory and honor to you in everything that I say and everything that I do today. God, I pray that every word that's uttered out of my mouth, God, would do that. God, I'm not interested, Father, in just standing up here and babbling along today. God, I need your breath. I need your anointing. I need your help today. And I pray, God, that you would help me to relay to the people, God, Father, what you've given me. And I'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. In recent days, I've been studying the life of David again. And many of you know that it's one of my favorite Bible characters to study. One thing, and you've heard me say this many times, that I enjoy studying about the life of David is different than most of the Bible characters. We actually get in a glimpse to every bit of David's life. Pretty much all of his life, we see something about that. Another thing that's interesting about David, we find in the Bible David's accomplishments, and we also find David's failures and how in spite of failures, God still used David and said that he was a man after God's own heart. Whenever you study the life of David, you'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, he's a young man and he's keeping his father's sheep. It depends on who you read after, and there is no definite number that we can put on this, but he's probably around 16 years old whenever he's keeping his father's sheep, and a man by the name of Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, comes and he anoints David as a king of Israel. You that knows the Bible knows that Saul has rebelled against God, and the hand of God was no longer on Saul, and the hand of God and the Spirit of God begins to move on a young man by the name of David. As we continue studying his life, you'll find that Saul ends up having David brought to the kingdom, and David there plays for Saul to keep the evil spirits away from him. David ends up going back out out to his father's house. He ends up back at the kingdom whenever he kills Goliath. And man, what a great story that is about a young man taking a stand for God and God using him. After he kills Goliath, you that knows the Bible knows that Saul brings him into his house and makes him as one of his. But then Saul realizes that the hand of God is on David, and they begin to say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul begins to become angry towards David. David leaves the kingdom and is running in fear of his life. Though anointed king by Samuel back at a young age, he lives in caves. He faces betrayal, and he waited while Saul faced a major revenge against him and even tried to kill him. It's very interesting that through every bit of that, David remains humble. David remains really obedient to Saul. Matter of fact, numerous times you'll find that David bows before Saul in humility to Saul, and he talks about Saul being the anointed of God because God had anointed him at one time. And David just remains faithful through every bit of that of his life. In chapter number 31 of 1 Samuel, I'm headed somewhere. You got to get all of this to go where I'm going. In chapter number 31, Saul ends up dying. And after Saul ends up dying, you know that Jonathan ends up dying, which is his son. And you know that Abner now is kindly running things. And Abner takes a guy by the name of Ishbosheth and brings him in, which is David's, or not David, but it's Saul's other son. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 2, he anoints him as king of Israel, which is completely contrary to what God wanted. Completely contrary to what God wanted. David, you that knows your Bible, knows that David ends up king of Judah, but he's not king of all of Israel yet. So in chapter number 3, we find that as we read our Bible, we note that Abner is fixing to die, and David's other son is king of Israel. And Abner, before he dies, comes before the people, and here's what he says to the people. Now then, do it. Now then, do it. What is he referring to? He's referring to making David king of all of Israel. Now, can I just say something to you? The Bible tells us that David, whenever you look in chapter number 5, it says in verse number 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. So now, again, we don't have no definite timeline, but around 15 years, we can say it that way safely, has passed by since Samuel has anointed David king, and David actually becomes king of all of Israel. Now, what does Abner say to him that day? Here's what he says, now then do it. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, we've wasted enough time. Can I just say it this way? Maybe you'll understand. If you was preaching in Mexico and said this, they don't know how to translate it. Ask me how I know. They said, we have dilly-dallied around long enough. The translator goes, Arahu. Dilly-dally. Watch this. They've dilly-dallied around long enough. They've wasted enough time. For 15 years, he's been anointed by the man of God to become the king of Israel. And Abner looks at him before he goes off the scene, and he says to him, hey, listen, what you need to do right now is make him king. He says, now then do it. Now, I want to take that, and I want to preach on that for just a minute this morning. Now then do it. What have you been waiting to do? What have you been procrastinating this morning? What do you know that deep down inside, it is the right thing to do? It's what you're supposed to do, but for some reason, you've not. Well, you know what Abner said? He said, now then do it. Now then do it. Let me give you two or three things. We'll go home. Number one, I want you to see the perceived will of God. The perceived will of God. Sometimes God's will is known long before it is ever obeyed. The perceived will of God. You know what? They knew that it was God's will and God's hand was on David. Yet they did not do that. The perceived will of God. I'll never forget my mom saying this to me one time. She said, son, the will of God is not a mystery today. The will of God is not something hard to figure out. The will of God is not something that God will keep hid from you. God will make His will known. Can I say to you today, God makes His will known. He says, now then do it, for the Lord hath spoken of David. This was not new information. I've already said this, but in 1 Samuel 16, they had already anointed David. Samuel, the prophet, had already anointed David. When we get the passage of Scripture, when we get to this passage of Scripture, Saul has been dead for some time now. God's will had not changed. Only the willingness of their heart had changed. God's will was still the same. God's will does not change. When we come to 2 Samuel 3:18, God's will is still the same. The change is this. They decided to accept the perceived will of God. Knowing God's will is not the same as doing God's will. Can I say that again? Knowing God's will is not the same as doing God's will. Can I illustrate it to you? I would say it like this. Some of you sitting in this room today may not be saved. I don't know your heart. I know my heart. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that. But if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, you know according to the Word of God that you're supposed to get saved. You know the will of God. You're just not doing the will of God. Some of you sitting in this room today, I thought about this early this morning. I when I say meditating, I really mean that's what I was doing. A lot of people think you're a nut when you do that, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was sitting and I was listening to just very calm classical music, and I was meditating on the day. I was meditating, I was praying. And I'm going to tell you something, it's just like God began to point some people out. You know what? It was like he was saying this. Boy, they know what they're supposed to be doing. They've almost went to the altar. They've almost sold out to serve me. They've almost gave it everything. You know the will of God. But knowing it and doing it is two different things. So, preach, what do you got to say this morning? Here's what I've got to say. Now then do it. Now then do it. The perceived will of God. Many people know what God wants, agree with what God wants, talk about what God wants, but they never act on what God wants. Delayed obedience is still disobedient. Can I say that again? Delayed obedience is still disobedient. Number one, there's the perceived will of God. Number two, there's the passing window of opportunity. There is the passing window of opportunity. Opportunity has an expiration date. Opportunity has an expiration date. Can I tell you something else? You, Justin Stairwalt, has an expiration date. Randy Castle, you've got an expiration date. Brother D.C., you got an expiration date. You know what, Brother Peyton, as young as you are, you've got an expiration date. You know what about me? I've got an expiration date. Every one of us sitting here has an expiration date. While you have opportunity, you better do it. The passing window of opportunity. Abner says, now then, because the moment was critical. Why the urgency that Abner has? Abner is about to die in this same chapter. There's political unity is fragile. The window to act is narrow. God often works in seasons, and seasons do not last forever. What did he say in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3? He said, everything there is a season. I don't know if you know this or not. If you don't, when you walk outside, you're going to realize it. It's winter. You know what that is? That's a season. And if you're like me, you're complaining because it's so cold. You say, well, you ought not complain. Well, pray for me, okay? You're complaining because it's so cold. But you know what's going to happen? Before we turn around twice, we're going to be at spring. Then it's going to be August, and we're all going to be complaining because it's too hot. Life has seasons. And I want to say this to you today. Your opportunity to serve God has seasons also. You can miss God's will, not by rebelling, but by procrastinating. You can miss God's will not by rebelling, but by procrastination. The door God opens today may not be open tomorrow. The calling you delay today may be given to another tomorrow. The conviction you ignore may grow silent. When God says now, He means now. There's the perceived will of God. There's the passing opportunity, or the passing window of opportunity, number three this morning. There's the participation of God's people. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that God uses people. I've said it so many times. He could have used anything He wanted to. He could have used the fowl of the air, and He did in some places. But I'm talking about to give the gospel. He could have used the fowl of the air to do that. He could have used the birds of the sea to do that. The birds of the sea. The fish, there is some birds in the sea. But the fish of the sea to do that. God could have used anything. But you know what God did? God in His sovereignty. God in His knowledge. God in being the God that He is. Decided that He would make man. And He would say that it's very good. And He would use us. He would use us, the participation of God's people. God's work will go on. Are you listening to me? God's work will go on. The only question is whether He will do it with you or with someone else. The work of God will go on. I'm not here to cast bad feelings. I have no bad feelings to cast. But Brother Robert, if we went back 20 years ago and looked at who's come through the church 20 years ago to today, some of them we said, man, I sure hope they never leave. I don't know what we'll do. And guess what happened? They left. And guess what happened? The church goes on. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God will do it with you, or God will do it without you. The choice is up to you. The choice is up to you. You can get in on it, or you can sit back and criticize it. But God will do it. God will do it. God, listen to this. God's will is settled, but His servants must be surrendered. One yes moves the church. One act of obedience changes a family. One moment of faith can ignite a revival. God is ready. The work is waiting. The question is this. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Number four, the paralysis of delay. The paralysis of delay. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. When you delay, it causes problems. When you delay, I'm gonna skip a lot of this, but I'm gonna give you one statement, then I'm gonna give you the last point, we're gonna go home. Delay is often disobedience dressed in good intentions.
Let me say it again. Delay is often disobedience dressed in good intentions. How many times has somebody said, you know what, I'm going to do this. Well, if you're going to, do it. You know what they said to him? Now then, do it. Just do it. Just do it. Delay is often disobedience dressed in good intentions. The enemy of obedience is not rebellion. It's procrastination. Man, it's quiet this morning. The enemy of obedience is not rebellion. It's procrastination. I don't think that there's nobody sitting here today that just defiantly wants to do right opposite of God's will for your life. That would be rebellion. But I do think that there's some that may be sitting back going, well, if this happens and if that happens and if this happens and if that happens and if this goes this way, time out. God don't work that way. And can I just say this, based on the New Testament and after Calvary, it's not signs that we look for today. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's the Scripture of the Word of God. And when the Scripture says it's right, and the Spirit of God confirms it in your heart, man, do it. The paralysis of delay. The enemy of obedience is not rebellion, it's procrastination. God doesn't bless hesitation. God blesses obedience. Number five, and we'll go home. The prompted obedience that God requires. God requires obedience. It's a prompted obedience. What did He say? Now then do it. Now then, do it. Miss Tanya, will you come start playing? Now then, do it. Watch this. Now then, do it is a call to immediate obedience. To immediate obedience. Immediate. This is not a call to emotion. It's a call to action. Not pray about it more. Not wait until things are settled. Not wait until it's easy, but now. Jesus echoed the same urgency. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets. He said, today salvation has come to this house. He said, now is the accepted time. What is he saying? He's saying this, there's an urgency to it. There is an urgency to do it. The tragedy of 2 Samuel 3 is not that God spoke, but that it took so long for anyone to act. It's not that God spoke. No, God spoke it 15 years prior to this. The tragedy is that it took so long for someone to respond. God is still saying, you know my will. If you're here this morning and you're lost, God's saying, you know my will. My will is that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My will is for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is God's will for your life. Now then do it. Said, preacher, I'm going to get saved tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? What if it never comes? Your life has an expiration date on it. What if that is this afternoon? And in the backside of your mind, you had all good intentions. You really was going to get saved. You really was going to start serving God. But you decided you was going to do it on your timeline. God says today, now then do it. Now. Now. God says, you know my will. You've heard my voice. You've heard my voice. If you've ever heard it, you know what I'm talking about. You've saw the need. You've saw the need. You know what it is. Now then, do it. I wonder what it is that God's been fanging around in your life about. Man, I'm telling you, I wanted to preach on John chapter 4 and shout the roof off today. What is that that's in your life that God's been fanging around about? Let me just talk to you that's saved for a minute. You just keep sitting back going, you know, I just, whoa, there comes a time when that becomes rebellion. I'm all for making sure it's the voice of God, and I'm all for confirming it with the Word of God. But if you've got the voice of God and you've got the Word of God, do it. Do it. I'm all for you young men in here that surrender to preach underneath me, knows that I've said this. I'm all for making sure it's the hand of God and it's the voice of God and you've got the Word of God. I'm all for every bit of that, but I'm afraid so many times out of a fear of the unknown, we procrastinate what God really wants us to do. Just do it. Just do it. I wonder why ladies in here. Now, don't start preaching. I wonder what lady in here. God's put things on your heart over and over again. You know what? Here's something. I got to quit here in just a minute. Here's something that he's preaching tonight, so I'm just going to say it. Y'all come back to hear him tonight. Somebody comes up to you as a pastor and says, you know, the Lord's put this on my heart. Why don't you look into starting that? Here's the way I'm starting to respond to that. No. Because God didn't put it on my heart. He put it on your heart. Oh, it got a little tight right there. So let me just back up and say that. No. Because God didn't put it on my heart. He put that on your heart. Now, as your pastor, if you're in good standings at the church, you live in the right kind of life, I'll do everything I can do to help you with it. As the church, we'll do what we can do to help you with it, but don't get mad at other people in the church if they don't get a hold of the same thing that you got a burden for, because God didn't give them a burden for that. He gave you a burden for it. What is that that God's been fanging around in? Can I just say something to you? Do it. Just do it. I've watched some in recent days in altar calls. It's like you've just been almost on the verge. You got a testimony of being saved, but you're right there on that verge of just selling out. Of just giving it. Hey, life's got an expiration date. What God's going to use you to do's got an expiration date. You know what you need to do this morning? You need to do it. You need to do it. You need to quit messing around and do it. I close with this. If we are going to serve God, we cannot live on yesterday's anointing or tomorrow's intentions. We've got to have it today and then do it. Now, then, do it.